Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have plenty of open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to hear from you early. So if you have a question, a problem, situation that you would like to discuss on today's broadcast, we invite you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Andrew Farley is with me again today. We've been talking all this week about the role the Holy Spirit plays in our lives, in our walk of faith, and in our ability to really embrace this abundant life that we have in Christ Jesus. And Andrew, there's a very, confusing passage in Romans chapter 8 that talks about those who live according to the flesh and those that live according to the Spirit. But I know that it's an important passage and something I think that can really help us in our day-to-day walk with the Lord. What is this passage talking about when it says those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on that, what that nature desires, and those who have their minds on the Spirit or have their mind set on what the Spirit desires? And it sounds like we can bounce back and forth between, you know, flesh and Spirit, Spirit and flesh. What in the world is Paul talking about?
Yeah, Bob, I think we've got two things going on. I think first we've got your spiritual geography. We've got the place that you belong, the place that you live. Now, if you're a human being, there's two places for you to live. You either live in the Spirit or you live in the flesh. Now, again, that's your spiritual geography. That's where you get life from. So we see this in verse 9. Paul is assuring Christians of their spiritual geography. He says, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, hey, Christian, if you've got the Spirit living in you, you have a new spiritual location, a new geography. You are in the Spirit. Now, backing up, he's saying there are other people that live according to the flesh and that are in the flesh. That is their geography. They're still in Adam. They're still in the flesh. And so basically this whole passage, I believe, is talking about trends. I mean, there's a trend. In fact, it's 100% trend in the unbeliever. And that is that if you are in the flesh, you are going to set your mind according to the flesh. It's all you can do. It's the only place you can draw life from, flesh, flesh, flesh. So your position or your location is determining your thinking. Now, when you become a Christian, you get transferred. I mean, it's like you get your transfer papers, and the crane operator, God himself, hoists you out of the flesh and places you in the Spirit. This is your new location. But you know as well as I do, Bob, that we've got that old thinking still. I mean, we might have new geography, but we've got some old thinking. So it's possible for a Christian to still sometimes set their mind according to the flesh, even though they live in the Spirit. So let me sum up just by saying this. Look, God is never going to rob you of your location. He is never going to revoke your location in Him. You will always be in the Spirit. But your mindsets, my friends, well, that's our choice to make moment to moment. And there's no life in the flesh. There's nothing we can gain from thinking according to the flesh.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. Dial it right now. We would greatly appreciate that and would love to talk to you and to point you into the Word of God to find help and hope there in Christ Jesus. A couple of exciting events that I want to remind you of. July 16th. Andrew Farley will be in the Bronx at the World Changers Church. I think that's a Wednesday evening. You'll be speaking that night at 7 o'clock, so we certainly want to invite all of our New York friends to take advantage of that opportunity. And then the following week, Thursday, July 24th, I will be in New York City at the American Bible Society in conjunction with WMCA. We're putting on a live event. Kevin McCullough, one of the on-air personalities there at WMCA, will be broadcasting live. I'll be a guest on his program. Then we'll broadcast Basic Gospel, and then we'll have a time of question and answer following that. So come join us to be a part of the WMCA live event. Go to our website at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Hit the link on it for the WMCA live event and register. It is free. But we do need for you to register so that we can know that you will be there. So two exciting events coming up in the month of July for our friends and listeners in the New York City area. Andrew, we do have some calls coming in right now, but I found this an interesting question about repentance. Albert from Los Angeles wrote to us, and he's asking, you know, is repentance, you know, a turning away from sins? Is that an external thing? Is it a matter of the heart? And specifically, how does it relate to the story in Luke 17, verses 3 through 4? So what's the definition of repentance, and what's the Spirit's role in turning us away from that old life toward Jesus Christ?
Yeah, well, first of all, it says in Luke 17, it says, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. So this is Jesus, and he's talking to the disciples here. And, you know, repentance is a change of mind. I think that's the core of it. You change your mind about something. So when we become believers, we repent. We say, I'm no longer going to believe the myth that Jesus was just a man or that Jesus was just a prophet, but I'm going to invest in the truth that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was crucified, buried, and raised. And so I repent as I change my mind. It's not me saying, God, I promise to do better. It's not me saying, God, I promise to be sinlessly perfect in my performance, or God, everything I've ever done is horrible, and now I'm going to do better. No, no, it's really about the identity and work of Jesus. I change my mind about Jesus. So then daily, you know, you're going to be hard-pressed to find the word repent used with a Christian, because 9 times out of 10, not all the time, but 9 times out of 10, repentance refers to the saving work of salvation. But 1 time out of 10, you can visit the book of Revelation, and Jesus tells the whole church there, a whole group of probably thousands of people, to repent and do the deeds they used to do, don't lose sight of your first love, that sort of thing. And so it's a change of mind, Bob. It's important to understand that it's a change of attitude or a change of mind, but it does not mean that I get more forgiven. It doesn't mean that I get more cleansed. Quite frankly, it just means that I enter into more sanity. It means that I enter into more truth in my thinking. And that's what repentance is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the idea of going from unbelief to belief. And once that heart has been changed, I mean, we lived with a heart of unbelief when we were lost. That's the only thing that we knew. That's what Adam and Eve plunged us into, a life of unbelief. And now when that gospel message enters into the picture and we hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, something changes inside of us where we become believers. And boy, that really cleared up the whole repentance thing for me when I realized it's not sins, it's that old, because the root of sin is unbelief, isn't it?
Yeah, everything that we do walking after the flesh, we're basically saying, I don't believe that Jesus is enough for this moment. I don't believe that he can meet my needs in this moment, so I'm going fishing. In other words, I'm going shopping for something more, something better, something more fulfilling somewhere else. And that's unbelief in the moment.
Absolutely. And that's the issue. That's what's of concern to God. And so what does he want to change our minds upon? You know, that unbelief, that there's no life there. Just start walking by faith. And that's the whole deal. It's real simple. Very, very simple. Mm-hmm. Well, 1-800-677-9377. We have a couple of callers on the line right now, but still some room for you. Go ahead and call 1-800-677-9377. Let's talk with Peter, listening to us on WMCA today. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. When you refer to Paul speaking about in the flesh, do you think he's referring to our sinful nature of being in sin?
Well, you know, yes, I can hear you there, sir. You know, I think that's a great.
I'm on my ear, Pete.
Yeah. What we've got is we've got one translation of the Bible, the NIV from 1984, and that original translation uses the term sinful nature a lot. What I encourage people to do is just go ahead and use the word flesh. Here's why. Because when you start out on this planet, you're in the flesh, and then when you become a Christian, you're in the spirit. So your nature changes at salvation. You've got a new nature that's in the spirit.
New nature,
So you're a new creation. That's exactly right. So I stay away from that old term. In fact, the NIV has fixed it in their newest rendition. And the reason is because a lot of Christians were walking around planet Earth thinking that they had two natures. I'm the black dog and I'm the white dog. And I've got old self and new self. And all of that terminology just became confusing and the waters became murky. So a Christian has one nature.
Right. Yeah, to walk with Christ,
Yeah, we have old thinking, but we have...
It's not that we can't think in the flesh. What I'm trying to bring out is we can't... What's waiting for us in heaven is we can't comprehend. This is the flesh that we were given. You know, it's the fall of Adam and Eve. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
That's the fall. It's just my idea is if when he's talking about in the flesh, it's our sin, being in sin.
Yeah, yes.
Not
yes.
To be in the flesh, live in the spirit.
Right. And
that's my thing.
That's right. And there's nothing wrong.
I'm not going around whipping myself and saying, I'm a sinner, but to be in the flesh, you're not with Christ.
Right. Right. I think I agree with you. I don't know if you can hear me well, but what I'm saying is that Christians are always in the spirit, and yet we can think according to the flesh, or we can think according to the spirit. So what do you think we're built for? Well, I'm built for thinking according to the spirit. That's what I'm built for. But sometimes I fall back on the old way of thinking, and that's not what I'm built for. I'm rebuilt now for good works and for Jesus. So, Bob, you want to say something here to add to the conversation?
Well, Andrew, I think what's interesting is that, we were talking earlier about geography. We once were in the flesh, and then we've changed. I like to think of it as a tale of two kingdoms. We were in the dominion of darkness. That's where we were when we were lost. Now we're in the kingdom of the Son, whom God loves. A big difference, a huge difference. Mm. But imprinted on our minds are the ways of the flesh. We got used to living in the flesh. That was the only thing on our menu. It was like the people of Israel when they spent 400 years in Egypt. They looked a lot alike, like the Egyptians. They walked like the Egyptians. They talked like the Egyptians. They worshiped like the Egyptians. They were in the Egyptian way of life. And then when they cross through the Red Sea and they're free and God distinguishes them as a people group, defines them by the Mosaic covenant, they have to learn a whole new way. And if you notice in their history, they kept wanting to go back. It's kind of like that horse when you get him out of the barn. The only thing that horse wants to do is to get back to the barn.
Yeah.
And so that's sometimes the way it is for us as believers. Once we've been set free, once our identity has changed, our location has changed, that mind kind of wants to take us back to the old ways. But as soon as we start walking in that direction, something clicks, and I think this is the Holy Spirit. I think this is the Spirit's work inside of us. Mm-hmm. You get this keen awareness that you don't belong there anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was in college, the way to happiness in college, if you're a fraternity guy, is the parties and the drinking and getting drunk. And you know, everybody just oohed and aahed and thought that was just the greatest experience and the most fun ever. Well, when you come to Christ and you recognize you have a new identity and you're in a new location, when you start heading back to those bars, I remember sitting there thinking, I don't belong here. Yeah. I don't belong here at all. Well, what is that? That's the Spirit of God doing His work inside of us. Now, I had made a choice to go back to some of those bars, but God's Spirit was right there. Why? Because He's alive living in me. My location is in Him. And He speaks to me at that point in such a way that makes me realize I don't belong. This isn't for me. This isn't where true happiness is. And so what do? You get up out of the bar and you go and you just enjoy your relationship with the Lord. So I think that's what he's talking about here, and it's so vitally important for us to realize that once we're in the Spirit, we're always in the Spirit. We may do fleshy things, mm-hmm. but it's as a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen to that. You know, you've got your location, and then you've got the ways to walk. And what I hear you saying is no matter what, our location is solid, and yet we find ourselves walking. You know, if you're a Bible study buff out there listening right now and you want a couple of prepositions to distinguish what we're talking about here, whenever the Bible says by the flesh or by the Spirit, that's referring to your walk. You can walk by the flesh or you can walk by the Spirit. But when the Bible talks about being in, that's your location. You're in the Spirit as a Christian. You'll never be in the flesh ever again.
So, Peter, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Come see us in New York either the 16th of July or the 24th. All the information is online at basicgospel.net. That's what you're listening to right now. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Andrew Farley today. We're going to go back to New York and talk to Jose listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jose.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about Romans 7. The section that I have is it's called Struggling with Sin. I have a problem with this section because there's something here that says I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. I'm trying to figure out. It seems as if though it says so I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I just I'm trying to figure out. They say that you can't earn salvation by doing good things, mm-hmm. you know. So, but yet that's exactly what you have to do to have a relationship. And I it's just very mm-hmm. confusing to me. I don't get it. I don't know where. That particular phrase, like it's not me, it's the sin inside me.
Yeah.
Where does the responsibility of the human being begin, and where is it the cause of sin?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Jose. I think we do. And let me just start off by saying, if it helps you, I would retitle that section in your Bible instead of calling it struggling with sin. I would call it discovery of the sin parasite. It's like Paul is discovering something. He tells you a story, and his story is, I fought the law, and the law won. That's his story, because he was under the law as a devout Jewish man, and what he figured out was no matter how hard he tried to be a lawkeeper, he discovered a sin parasite that he was a slave to. And so he's saying, even when I want to do the things I want to do, sin was right there, and it was tempting me and pulling me, and I was harnessed to something. I was a slave to something. And so in verse 17 and verse 20, he says the same thing, and it's radical. He says, when I do the very thing that I don't want to do, it is no longer I but sin. So he discovered a parasite. Now, the answer is Jesus. The answer is to say, as an unbeliever, we say to Jesus, we call upon his name, and we say, Jesus, I am a slave to sin. I'm doing things I don't want to do. I wish I were a good law keeper, but I'm not. And so I'm asking you to come into my life and change me and free me from condemnation and show me life in you. And when we do that, sin is no longer our master. We're not a slave to sin. We get a heart surgery. And so
yes, well,
have you done that yet? I mean, do you feel
well,
that you
have... I had a connection, I've lost it, and I'm trying to figure out how to get back. And, you know, I was listening to the gentleman who said the difference between in the Spirit and by the Spirit. I don't feel that I have the Holy Spirit in me anymore. I don't feel that it's there. And I'm trying to figure out, I can't get it back by being a good boy.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to figure out, there's something fundamental about,
and how
about
did you,
Jesus Christ that I don't understand.
How did you get the Spirit? How do you believe that you got the Spirit?
Well, I read the Bible, and I began to feel a connectedness, particularly in my career as a nurse, that what I was doing for him. And that's changed over the course of time, and I feel like I'm just...
Yeah.
I'm not connected anymore, and I don't...
Sure.
I should try to connect. I don't know.
Let me describe what's happening then. You know, what I think is happening here is that you have really a roller coaster of feelings. You felt very close for a while. You felt intimate. You felt connected. And then your feelings change, and you wonder if you're okay and if you've got the Spirit. Bob, how do you feel? What would you say as far as his assurance of having the Spirit? How can he know for sure that he has the Spirit, and if he's not sure, how can he get the Spirit of God?
Well, Jose, Paul writes in Galatians, he says, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? And it's faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is the message concerning Christ. Jose, Jesus came to earth as one of us. He lived in the flesh in a human body, and then he offered himself as the sacrifice to take away your sins, not just some of them, Jose, but all of them. His blood satisfied God's wrath and holiness on your behalf. And then Jesus was buried, and then he was raised the third day, and he was raised so that you, Jose, could have life. And that's what the gospel is all about. It's not about being a good boy. It's not about these feelings. It's about going from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is that point of connection between the message of life and you experiencing it. So, Jose, what I would say to you, if you're wondering, if you're struggling, drive the stake right now. And I would be privileged to lead you in a prayer. And something that's just so simple, Lord, I just receive you into my heart today, right now, and I'm trusting you to give me life and life everlasting. Would you like to pray that right now, Jose?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Can you say it again, Lord?
I sure will. I'll just say it, then you repeat after me.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, thank you.
Lord Jesus, thank you.
I receive you into my heart right now.
I receive you into my heart right now.
And I'm trusting you to give me life everlasting.
And I'm trusting you to give me life everlasting.
And I thank you in Christ's name.
And I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, Jose, what I want you to do, it's just marvelous when people call and just really lay out what you've laid out on the table for us today. And just the opportunity for you to receive Christ. What I want you to do, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to write today's date inside of it. The day that Christ came to live inside of you. And refer back to it. And then what I'm going to do, we're about to go off the air. I want to put you on hold. Somebody's going to pick you up. We're going to get some information. We have an abundance of resources that we're going to put into your hands so that you can know that you know that you know that you are saved and saved forever. Okay, my friend?
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Jose. You hang on. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow.